Dr. Sinclair, what do you see as some of the challenges or barriers to nanotechnology development?
I think that the government agencies have been very good at sponsoring very innovative and groundbreaking research at their universities. And
I'm sure Stanford feels that way in particular.
The competitive universities like Berkeley and MIT and so on. But it is necessary to make sure that that funding is at a consistent level so that young professors can express their ideas and bring them to fruition, rather than having to be cautious because the funding may only last a certain amount of time before they will have achieved their goals.
Oh, right, and have to be selective about the approach that they use and the testing that they might do and things that are not for the better health and growth of their research.
I think we want to encourage the universities in particular to be as innovative as possible so that they come up with the ideas, which then could be commercialized either by the faculty and the students setting up for a small company themselves or a larger company taking on that responsibility to bring it into a commercial product. Another aspect which is of real concern happens to involve the equipment that it takes to do this research. This equipment is becoming increasingly expensive.
I would imagine.
And what one finds is that the equipment, particularly at the universities now, is aging and is no longer state-of-the-art. And it becomes quite expensive then to buy new pieces of equipment like electron microscopes or electron beam writers, which are the current best pieces of equipment available.
I imagine the auction duration on eBay for those items is a little longer, too.
Right. These are very specialized pieces of equipment, which one can only obtain from the very highest quality manufacturers. And for some pieces of equipment, there is indeed no government mechanism now whereby the universities can obtain this equipment because the cost is simply too high compared to the funding which is available. And this is becoming a national problem. Other countries have adopted a government-run policy whereby they will equip some laboratories in their country to a very high level, particularly the European countries and Japan, so that they have these new pieces of equipment.
Do you think there's an opportunity for Japan and other Asian countries to supply American universities with up-to-date equipment?
I think it's the other way around. I think that the manufacturers will provide equipment in their own countries to increase their competitiveness at the cost of American competitiveness. So this is regarded as a national problem. A study for the National Academy of Sciences, which we've just completed, reports on this and recommends that regional centers be set up whereby researchers from different institutions can share equipment which is so expensive and which is so powerful. But unless we act soon, then the universities in particular will find themselves in a non-competitive situation with their equivalent institutions in other countries.
Who do you see as the strongest threats in those areas in the academic world right now?
Well, certainly from the investments which are being made, then Japan institutions tend to be very well equipped. Germany is making significant investment in its research infrastructure. China gradually is establishing more and more very high quality research centers, and of course the other top European countries and even the smaller countries besides Britain and France, but also Belgium, Holland, Sweden, and so on.
Like many innovations, does the competition between countries affect the progress of that technology, do you think?
Definitely, because science really is an international endeavor. And scientists in the United States are competing against each other and themselves, and also with their equivalents in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the interesting things about science, that that international competition is recognized and is a powerful force to develop better
mm-hmm.
devices.
Right, I see. It's actually a positive component of it.
If we regard the competition as positive, which I think it is for the development of technology, then international competition is certainly a component of it.
Yeah. I think we're relying on the individual integrity of people that way.
We need to rely on the individual integrity, and of course there was a very recent severe case in South Korea where that was not carried out, which is very regrettable. There was the stem cell research, the South Korean researchers which were doing, and the stem cell lines were fabricated.
That's interesting. What other issues do you think either might help? Well, are there credible and significantly followed organizations on the international level for nanotechnology research also?
I think you'll find that there is a lot of international collaboration, as well as research which is carried out in an individual country. And there are many scientific conferences and scientific organizations which are international which promote that, and which I would say most scientists and technologists take advantage of. We tend to travel to other countries and to meet scientists there and to discuss our data with them and find out about their data as well. So I think that that international scientific community is a very healthy one, because it's recognized that it's competitive.
Hmm.
And it is run at a, I think, in a very healthy fashion.
Hmm. That's reassuring. Is working at Stanford all serious science? Do you have any fun over there?
Well, Stanford is a very special place. The students are very hardworking and very talented. And there is quite a different nature to the graduate students who are trying to obtain a professional degree, PhD or Master of Science, for instance, compared to the undergraduate students, who tend to be young, of course, but also to have very many different interests besides their field of study.
I've met at least two Stanford dropouts who finished a year here and went on to build technology companies here in the Valley, who I worked for a short time. So I've seen a little bit of that around.
Stanford dropouts are probably the same quality as Stanford drop-ins.
They're
very talented. And
very talented, absolutely. What other areas do we see nanotechnology?
Well, I talked about the exciting research which is being carried out at the universities, but also the American system has a very strong component of the national laboratories, and they are making their own contributions through professional scientists. And then, of course, there is the entrepreneurial spirit in America, whereby small companies are, there's one in Palo Alto called NanoSys, for instance, which is trying to commercialize some neat and cool nanotechnology products.
Hmm. Where else do we see nanotechnology popping up?
Well, one of the aspects which perhaps you don't know is that suntan lotion, sunscreen, and many paints involve very small nanoparticles to give them their color or blocking ability. So they're in something in everyday nanotechnology is already present.